blessing to be here.
You know, we live in Germany.
Guten Tag.
The Colts' game plan in Europe and the possibility of Indianapolis landing the NFL draft. Adding it all up, the big bucks of professional football and the impact in Indiana. And
there's a new way to treat the deadliest form of stroke, and it was created right here in Indiana. That's coming up in the Business of Health.
Plus, Fort Wayne looking to link part of its historic automotive past with the future. Inside Indiana Business is next.
From Indiana's business news leader, this is IBJ Media's Inside Indiana Business with Gary Dick, presented by Elevate Ventures, Indiana University, and LIUNA.
Hello to welcome to Inside Indiana Business. I'm Gary Dick. The NFL draft this weekend in Detroit, not only making college athletes' dreams come true, it is attracting hundreds of thousands of fans to watch it all unfold, which translates into big dollars for host cities. And Indianapolis, already home to the NFL Combine, is pushing to land the newest of the NFL's biggest prizes.
For the first time in 51 years, Chi-Town is draft town.
Since the first time the NFL took the draft on the road to Chicago in 2015, it has grown into an American happening. Like many things the NFL touches, the draft is turned into gold for host cities.
Here's the moment we've been waiting for, the commissioner, Roger Goodell.
Last year's draft in Kansas City generated an economic impact pegged at $165 million. The NFL estimating more than 300,000 fans attended the four-day event at Kansas City's Union Station. Why hasn't Indy landed a draft? Well, it's not for a lack of trying.
We've expressed our letter of interest. We've sent teams to drafts in the past to see how we would fit in Indy, how would we put that together. In our letter of interest, we've outlined some general things that we think we could be really good at and why the draft would fit well here.
The first pick of the night.
In fact, Indy has its sights set on the 2027 draft, but is waiting on bid specs and direction from the NFL. Green Bay will host the draft next year, but 2026, 27, and beyond are still open.
27 is definitely still very viable. You know, we have to sandwich it in between some of the other big events that we already have on the books. We have a men's Final Four in 26, women's in 28, and another men's Final Four in 29. So 27 fits perfectly within that schedule. We'd love to host it then, but we're not taking our eyes off the prize also for long term. I mean, you know, just because we don't get it in 27 doesn't mean that we aren't chasing it for, you know, 30 and 31 and 32 and beyond, because we think this is a property that Indianapolis should host.
Indy's well-earned reputation as a big event city actually presents some challenges when it comes to scheduling.
We just hosted the NBA All-Star. We have the Olympic swimming trials coming up. We have a men's Final Four, and actually two in not, you know, very near future. We have a women's Final Four. So we have a lot going on and a lot of things happening. And of course, you know, we can't forget the Big Ten football championship, Big Ten basketball. We are built for big events. We are built for hosting large conferences and sporting events, and people love it here. So, you know, that's a blessing and a curse. But I don't think I would trade it any other way to have that lineup. I'll do the work to try to figure out how to make it work for all these other events that we want to go after.
Well, indeed, the economic impact and fan frenzy around the draft underscores the NFL's dominance on the American sports landscape. Get this, in 2023, 93 of the top 100 most viewed television broadcasts in this country were NFL games. And the league wants to expand that dominance globally, blitzing international markets, and giving individual teams like the Colts the green light to go for pay dirt. The scene at Frankfurt's Deutsche Bank Park for last year's Colts-Patriots game. A stadium filled beyond capacity with fans hungry for American football. A scene not lost on the money machine that is the National Football League.
We believe this is our next big frontier, and we want to make sure that our game is shared with a global audience. And we believe every time we do, they have more and more interest in the game, and they're really sophisticated fans.
In an effort to capture those fans, the Colts are the latest franchise to be granted international marketing rights by the NFL, specifically for Germany and Austria, all part of the NFL Global Markets Initiative, enabling the Colts to market the horseshoe like they do here at home.
We're able to go into Germany and Austria. We're able to take our players, our mascot, our cheerleaders to do events, to engage with companies and media partners over there, and start to really build a Colts-specific fan base instead of just relying on the NFL to drive that for us.
Pemberton says Indiana's strong economic ties to Germany and Austria will be important to the brand-building strategy. Germany is a top five trading partner with Indiana, with $3.9 billion in exports in 2023. And the Colts will have a familiar face as an in-country ambassador.
Wash the hands of the fans, please.
It's a way of touching the fans at whatever age, right? And convince them to follow the Colts.
Bjorn Werner gets his fourth sack of the year.
German native and former Colts first-round pick Bjorn Werner sees big opportunity for the Colts, but says they'll face stiff competition for the fan dollar from teams who've been in Germany for years, like the Patriots.
Robert Kraft was really focusing on this market for a long time, you know. And then, like, 2 years ago or last year, you had the Chiefs coming in. Obviously, the Chiefs winning Super Bowls, right? Everybody's buying jerseys, and it's more... The German fans are so new. Like every day, you kind of when you show a TV game, there's not like every fan already has a team. That's the great opportunity right now for all the NFL teams who are getting these market rights.
Ich habe das letzte Mal sie mich spielen gesehen, aber ich für die Vienna Vikings gespielt.
The initial global markets deal is for 5 years, but the Colts see this as a long-term play.
The immediate ROI is going to be minimal, but we really believe that in the next 10, 15 years, there is impact that we can have, and really there's an opportunity to build a fan base. A lot of them have not yet identified a team, and they are just kind of fans of the NFL. And so while there are teams that have been over there longer than us, we realize that there is still a lot of the market to still capture.
Tschüss. This is goodbye, Germany. It's been a pleasure. Love you.
All the way from across the pond, big dog.
Germany, man, thank you for the support. We love y'all, man. Y'all put on a great crowd.
I was the second generation. My daughter worked there, who was the third generation.
It was part of the fabric of Fort Wayne, International Harvester, what it has meant to a generation of Hoosier workers and families, and what's next for this piece of Indiana's automotive history.
Here's what's making news around Indiana. Brought to you by the Indiana Association of Realtors. Indiana's 21,000 realtors. The neighbors you know, the experts you can count on.
Well, lots of business news around Indiana to get caught up on this week. Mary Rachel Redman here now with some of the highlights. Mary Rachel.
That's right, Gary. Well, we begin in northern Indiana with a whopper. Amazon making the largest capital investment in Indiana history with plans to build an $11 billion data center in New Carlisle, not far from where a new $3 billion electric vehicle battery plant is going in. The Amazon data center expected to create at least 1,000 jobs and is the eighth data center Indiana has landed since 2019. It's the end of the line for the Subaru Legacy model made in Lafayette. The company planning to end production of the Legacy next spring. There's a bit of history attached to the Legacy. It was Subaru's first car made in the United States back in 1989 when the company opened its North American plant in Lafayette, and history in Fort Wayne.
According to law and the best of my ability.
Yeah.
That's Fort Wayne's new mayor, Sharon Tucker, being sworn into office. She's the first woman and first African-American to serve in the role. Tucker takes over for Tom Henry, who passed away last month. And speaking of Fort Wayne, as the city looks to its future in advanced manufacturing, it's also trying to preserve a piece of its manufacturing past. A look back at an iconic company that once defined a city.
International Harvester makes a complete line of trucks, the best that men, money, and more than a century of manufacturing experience can build. The factory at Fort Wayne, where heavy-duty models are manufactured, occupies 125 acres.
The Hoover Dam was built with International Trucks. They built a truck here to haul a giant platform for one of the first rocket launches at Cape Canaveral they took out of here. They built anything needed to be built to do the biggest things in the world.
You might call it the Summit City's 20th century behemoth.
It's not enough to have an engineering setup second to none in the industry.
For 60 years, International Harvester reigned supreme in Fort Wayne. For decades, it was the city's largest employer. During World War II, the Fort Wayne truck titan was considered so critical to the U.S. war effort, Adolf Hitler himself had the plant circled as a major bombing target.
In World War II, we were not too popular with Hitler because of the trucks that were being built here.
The triple diamond emblem on every international truck is a mark of distinction.
It really was the heavy-duty truck capital of the world. From 1923 until 1983, International Harvester manufactured more than 1.5 million heavy-duty trucks.
International Harvester became the number one truck manufacturer in the nation. We had at least 75 or 80% of the market. This is what really made Harvester become Fort Wayne especially, the heavy truck capital of the world. It brought the business, good paying jobs, which were the best in the area. It not only benefited Fort Wayne, it benefited the surrounding area.
It's also responsible for the creation of what many consider to be the first modern SUV, the Scout.
The Scout is small on the outside.
1961, we started with the Scout, which in my opinion was the first SUV. It was supposed to be just a utility vehicle, but it turned into a family vehicle. And I think the Scout and the heavy-duty truck capital were the two major areas that made it what it is.
But like many industrial giants of its time, International Harvester would face its share of challenges. Economic downturns and changing consumer preferences would eventually take their toll on the company. In the 1980s, the plant ceased operations, marking the end of an era for International Harvester in Fort Wayne.
The relationship of Harvester to Fort Wayne is not good because of the fact that they pulled out.
And no one said anything about the Harvester history here because it was sort of a sad note that there was still bitterness.
But through the efforts of Ryan Duvall, who declined to be on camera, and former longtime International employee Jerry Bentley, the two set out to make sure the legacy of International Harvester was not forgotten. The two have been able to set up nonprofit Harvester Homecoming that's resulted in a number of festivals and now a makeshift museum of sorts at the one-time engineering building that now features over 65 original International Harvester trucks, Scouts, and memorabilia galore.
So this is part of the history that we're trying to keep alive with the museum. I think I'm most proud of the years that I spent, the relationships, the family, the friends that you made. You actually spent eight hours out of every day here, sometimes 10 because you'd be working overtime. And you really spent more time here than you did with your own family. And I think that history is what means most to me.
An amazing story, a little emotional there. But, you know, right now, the challenge that they face, the old engineering building where they've kind of got this makeshift museum that's not technically open to the public, the county owns it and wants to turn it into a jail. So they're trying to find a permanent home for the museum and for this awesome Harvester memorabilia. And I know that back in the 80s, you were there when the harvester plant closed.
Yeah. Looking at some of these images on the screen brings back a lot of memories. I covered the harvester departure as my first job out of college in Fort Wayne. And as your piece reflected, there was a pall over Fort Wayne in Northeast Indiana when this announcement came down. It really devastated the community because this was a company that supported families, put kids through college for many, many years. So it was a tough time in Fort Wayne, but has certainly recovered since then. Great report. Thanks. Up next, an Indiana company's bioscience technology tools playing a major role in helping stroke victims not only survive, but recover more quickly.
We build Indiana. The Laborers International Union of North America builds and maintains roads, bridges, and other essential infrastructure that make us the crossroads of America. So thanks to LIUNA members' work, Hoosiers have a better quality of life, like access to utilities, easier routes to jobs, schools, or medical care, and deliveries keep moving. We build Indiana for good jobs and stronger communities. The Laborers International Union of North America. We are LIUNA.
Well, the deadliest form of stroke now has a new treatment option, and it was discovered right here in Indiana. Experts say NECO Corporation's new technology marks a historical advancement in stroke care. Business of Health reporter Kylie Valletta here now with more. Kylie.
Yes, this is a big deal. Thank you, Gary. Just days ago, the New England Journal of Medicine published the complete results from NECO's clinical trial. Because of the prestige of this journal in particular, publication is seen as a signal to the medical field that a new treatment is ready for patients.
Experts say this new tool in stroke care is life-saving. After a hemorrhagic stroke, about half of patients die within 30 days. The vast majority of those who survive will have major deficits.
This is the most costly, deadly, debilitating form of stroke with no surgical answer since the dawn of time on the planet Earth. So I'm not overstating it. Like, this kills people. There's been no answer ever.
During hemorrhagic stroke, the vessel that bursts is deep within the brain, making it nearly impossible to reach. Surgeons have traditionally been taught to cut across brain tissue for the shortest route to the clot. But the Indianapolis-based startup's BrainPath is the first minimally invasive approach in the world. The pointed tip slides between the folds of the brain to cause less damage as it travels to the clot, rather than cutting across tissue. Designed with collaborators at Rose Hallman, BrainPath works hand-in-hand with the Myriad device, which lights the area and removes the clot. The trial, which included more than a dozen Hoosiers, showed NECO's technology cut the mortality rate in half compared to the current standard of care.
And what this trial showed is we can cut down mortality and we can improve functional outcomes, which means your ability to leave the hospital perhaps walking on your own versus being in a wheelchair. It's a big deal.
The results are now in the highest-ranked medical journal, known for announcing to the world that a new treatment is available.
It means the validation to grow our employee base and to grow our revenue. Here's kind of the great thing is the last two quarters have been the best two quarters in our company's history, but it was before we announced the results.
Now in the spotlight as the world leader in hemorrhagic stroke care, NECO wants to get the tool into doctors' hands as quickly as possible and scale. What could that mean for the small company?
My answer to that is we're going to do what's best for the shareholder. And I don't care if the name says NECO on the building. So we can merge with someone, we can raise capital, and continue the journey, or we can sell to someone.
A Hoosier innovation, now ready to give patients around the world a better chance to be a stroke survivor.
And this stroke technology is just one piece of NECO's portfolio. The company makes a variety of tools for minimally invasive brain surgery.
Jim Pearson and the team, great entrepreneurs and familiar with exits.
Yes, they have some experience. This is the same leadership team that founded Suros Surgical Systems, also here in Indiana, sold to Hologic for $238 million. That was back in 2006.
Good stuff. Thanks, Kylie. Yep. And we'll be right back after this.
Time now for our Eye on Education, brought to you by PNC Bank.
Well, it's a win-win for students and minority-owned businesses in Washington Township and Indianapolis. Voters passed two referenda totaling some $470 million to construct new school buildings in the district and renovate others like North Central High School. A major part of the deal, nearly one-fourth of the suppliers involved in the construction projects are minority-owned, and the payoff for those businesses is huge.
What it does is now gives those minority suppliers a leg up on the next job they could possibly go for, because now they have a track record of doing this. But one of the big issues is that as a smaller company or as a minority owned company, you may not have access to the bonding capacity, being able to secure or ensure that you can do the job. And so you can only take on certain projects. But as we built out some of these companies, that helped them increase the bonding capacity they could do, which then helps them get bigger jobs.
Real impact here in Indianapolis. That's all the time we have for this edition of Inside Indiana Business. I'm Gary Dick. Go out and make it a successful one. Thank you for listening to the Inside Indiana Business Television podcast. Remember, you can get the latest business news from every corner of the state at insideindianabusiness.com. I'm Gary Dick. Go out and make it a successful week.